Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment. You can listen to The Mike O'Mara Show at MikeO'MaraShow.com.
Well, what have we here?
It's a podcast.
Fine.
And what excitement we have today.
It's The Mike O'Mara Show with Mike O'Mara and Rob Spiewak. Now, here's Mike.
I'm Ray Barboni from Miami.
That's just the way I test my soundboard every morning here on the Mike O'Mara Show. Greetings, Thursdayers. We are glad to have you with us on the Mike O'Mara Show. And, I don't ask for it sometimes. I never have asked for it. I've never asked for content. What I do is I observe things that go on around us, and I observe things that happen in my own life. And I don't. I think maybe 20 years, 25 years ago, I started getting in the habit of just making mental notes of things. Mm-hmm. And to get to the top of the list on those mental notes would be something that happens to me that would fall in the category of bad for me, funny for you, embarrassing for me, funny for you, tragic for me, interesting for you, sad for me, maybe interesting for you. That's the way I do it. So the point
question,
I'm trying to make
though,
here,
question,
what's that?
Do you feel that content finds you sometimes?
Yes.
Yeah, I do too. I mean, when it happens, it's like, why am I in the middle of this? Why is this happening to me? But you're the best at turning it into joy for others.
Here's the thing about my world right now. Because of the change in people coming down here and getting more busy, I have found myself fighting the urge to really rage out because I find that not the old people, but the people that are pissed off at the old people, and I'm an old person, but I live down here full time, so we get a free pass down here in Florida. But the people that are really young, slaying the dragon, I'm talking about the 9-to-5 people that are out there on the highway, those people really tend to go bat-ass by driving like fools because they just are so tired of going by these Lexuses that go 11 miles an hour
let's call them Lexi.
Lexi, and it is, but under the heading of "It Finds Me," I will tell you that the moment last night, it just happened. All right, so here's what happens. I got two baseball leagues my son plays in. One is rec league, which is the regular sign up and play. Then there's a travel league where they travel around the state and they go to different tournaments. And he's getting a lot of reps and a lot of baseball. With that said, I think it's probably pretty universal that the task of either running a scoreboard or even more so keeping score, being one of the parents that does that, you're not having people throw their hands up in the air and like 11 deep volunteering for these tasks. And as a matter of fact,
Have you used the Game Changer app? Has that been
your
job?
We use the Game Changer. I haven't run the Game Changer app, but we all at the travel games, we all use the we all look at the Game Changer.
Whoever
there's no scoreboard.
Whoever operates the Game Changer app should be paid to be on staff. It is such a pain because you have to tap what type of hit, where it goes, what the play was made, who picked up the ball, where they threw the ball, where that person then threw it to, where the runners went to. And you have to get it all then before the next pitch.
Wow. Then Easton's dad, I will tell you, on Michael's travel team, you're doing the work of the Lord. Way to go, young man.
If you get good Game Changer stats, that guy's worth every penny.
Well, I think he's one guy that he's one guy that does it all the time.
I did it while coaching, and it was pain.
It is.
In the years that I was up in the booth at the high school, I found that the people that ran the scoreboard, the actual scoreboard, they liked to do it once and then never again.
All right, so this Game Changer app, just so you know, Rob, now when you go to a travel game, you will everybody who wants to keep track of the innings, the outs, the strikes, the balls, does so on their own cell phone. There are these old antiquated scoreboards that aren't used. Now, the one that we use for Rec League has this this ye old button. It reminds me of a radio station board from the early days of my career. It's clunky, it's big, and we still use the scoreboard. And I have done it a couple of times now, so I volunteer because I know nobody else is going to volunteer. And by the way, his rec team, I think there were parents sitting in back of us last night, but there is not a peep. Not a solitary sound.
And not and SO? We,
no. SO goes with the travel team, and there's nothing. There's Rob, nothing going on.
Rob, can you turn that gain knob down just a tiny bit on your mic?
You got it.
Rob, by the way, this is Rob, his last regular show in Miami. And next time, we've agreed that next time Rob goes away, he'll actually think about going away when he brings his equipment with him.
Right, a three-week trip. Take more than five shirts and an entire studio.
It was kind of a last minute thing.
Not real sure that I was going to stay here 3 weeks. So it was, I have to apologize on that behalf.
No, you don't. No, you know, you don't. You know, come on.
No, I mean,
the priority is.
I know, but I wanted this to go smoothly. It's not fair to put the onus on other people and make them absorb it. I hate
you know what?
Not right.
The idea of the technology that. We solved the technology issues, some of them by going smaller, will always be one of those moments where I kind of had the light bulb go off and go, wow, we actually shrunk the technology and it got better.
And that's we are so cool. close. That next time this happens, technology will be even better.
Yeah. Very neat. So the speaking of technology, the board, it's older. I don't know how old. I think this is a company that's been around a long time. And even the stuff that they made last year might look like it was made in 1970. That's my impression on it.
Do you have anyone?
And by the way, excuse me, I hate to interrupt, but by the way, the name of the scoreboard box, the technology that runs the scoreboard, it's got a 70s radio name, like Electric Score or something like. I wish I knew
a Scorathon.
It's some type of like old 70s technology. And here's the way I was instructed, that all I'm responsible for are balls, strikes, outs, runs, innings. You might think that's light. It's not. It's easy compared. By the way, there are a lot of functions on there. There are functions for a pitch count. There are functions for errors. They're fun. I just do balls, strikes, out, inning, score. That's it. So the one thing I was told is that the balls and strikes occasionally, because it's sent out there via RF signal, will respond a little slowly. And so I deal with that. And and the other thing is, I'm sure there may be a way at the when a player makes an out to clear the balls and strikes with one button, but I don't know where that is. So what I have to do is, if there's one ball and one strike, and the guy flies out to left, I have to ding, 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 clear the balls, and then ding, 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 clear the strikes so that we can get the next batter. That'll come into play next.
Does no one come to the ball game anymore with a spiral-bound
does
notebook?
Anyone, did Josh tell you to turn down your gain a little bit, just a little bit? Because when we're hearing you like we were before, it's kind of like that. So just to turn it
gain
down just
is-
a set.
All the way down. So, Josh, maybe you could kill me a little bit in StreamYard, and I'll stay further away from the mic.
Can you do that? Is that possible?
For him? Do they teach that here, Brad?
Do they teach that here?
We'll see how it goes.
Okay.
That tone that you heard with Mr. Soroka was basically saying, every day.
I can't wait. I'm so excited for next week.
So getting back to the scores, I'll hit the ball. And 1-1000, 2-1000, dink, the light goes on out in the scoreboard.
Now, I've seen two different types of these. There's the large panel, and then there's the little handheld controller.
Got the large box.
You've got the large box.
The large aluminum metal the clunky box.
That is somehow wireless, but it has like four wires hooked up to it.
It's got four wire. It's got, you know, it's AC that's hooked up to it. And then it appears to be this nipple sticking out of the back of this giant aluminum box with a couple of wires. And that's, I would assume, Josh, that's the transmitter that's going out there to the scoreboard. Yes. But it's fine. And it's nice because you know what? A scoreboard out in the center field that's functional, and it is, with bright lights on a night game, it's great. It's great. So for the third time now, I say, I'll take care of it. And the one thing I won't do, and Corey, the other dad there, who's become a friend of mine, and just, you know, we laugh a lot at these games, so we have a pretty good time together. Corey takes over the scorebook. And I volunteered Corey now. Every time I run the scoreboard, Corey does the book because I don't want to run. I've never kept score, so I wouldn't want to do that.
Josh, you're ahead of technology. Is there no option out there that is like Bluetooth enabled where you could do this from your phone? Or is it just that they're scared to
turn over? Well, that's the game changer he was talking about before.
And you also have to remember how these little league fields work. They are government funded.
Mm-hmm.
It's a long process to get a new piece of equipment approved.
Yeah. Right. So, was the scoreboard shut down?
I'll give you an example of the of what happened. All right. We had Hurricane Ian several years back. Mm-hmm. The lights at our local field here, what's it called?
Is it something like that?
It's similar, but that is more, to be honest with you.
Is that more advanced?
That's more advanced than the one that I use. Okay.
Because, Rob, they do have the ones you describe. Right. Okay. In like private schools.
Yeah, they're more modern. Yeah, okay.
To give you an idea of government and the way it works with these public fields where kids play ball, after Ian, our lighting system at the local field in my backyard here got just devastated. The lights were twisted and broken and all that. The wheels moved so slowly that it was an entire year where these were not repaired. At a certain point, there were multiple, and I mean multiple dads that were electrical contractors, that put lighting like this in for a living, who volunteer. One guy owned a company, volunteered to do it for free. The powers that be, the wonderful bureaucrats, said, no, we can't do it that way. There's no reason they can't do it that way.
No, it's government.
Yeah, it's the government doing it. Somebody covering their ass and you know, just doing it the way it's always been. So getting back to it, I'm running the scoreboard. And doing, I think, a bang-up job of it. I am a scoreboard watcher, and I love the results. I like the numbers. I like what's going on. And I don't suffer people that run it slowly at all. I'm like, oh, God, it's a ball. It's 2-1. Hit the button. Now, at the time, I probably didn't realize somebody's over there and that's dealing with the delay.
Yeah. That's exactly why I think every parent should have to use the scoreboard once.
Everybody
and the
should
game
do
changer
it.
Once.
Yeah, I agree. Game changer scares me now. Now you've succeeded in pushing me off of
don't
that.
Don't volunteer for game changer.
Are you, Mike? Is there an announcer of any sort at these games?
No.
If they've got a booth with.
Yeah. Okay. All right. I'm wrong about that. Parents on a team will bring a boombox out, one of those Bluetooth speakers, and they will play music. And then there was one guy at the tournament last weekend that got batting number 5, Rubiero, and you heard it throughout the whole thing. And
did he have a microphone, or is it pre-recorded?
It's pre-recorded.
Yeah,
it's pre-recorded.
There's apps now for all that where you can set your lineup and the players
set your lineup and
the
music's
attached.
Do it exactly, and you have you know, the parent. And by the way, this is probably the old fart in me where I say both the music and the announcing. You know, get bent. Just let the kids come up and play
100%.
Ball. You know what I mean?
Get
Please.
Rid of the music.
Get
but
rid of
but
it.
But the kids total. Love it.
Yeah, and they like their names. I mean, they're cute.
I enjoy when the parents mess with the music and surprise the kids with what their intro music
is.
So these are like walk-up songs?
Because
I don't know the Little League game.
Michael had one at one point. Michael had one that a parent put together. Well, you'll love the choice.
Well, it's tough to make your choice as a middle school kid because of all the peer pressure of I have to choose a song that I like and that's cool. And everyone's going to judge me based on my walk-up song.
Neither one of you have access to The Beautiful People by Marilyn Manson, do
you? Of course, yeah.
Okay. That's a pleasant song. Well, it's a great walk-up song.
It's a great, really great.
And the intro was Mike. I chose it for Michael, and he loved it. And so when it was his turn, this was a year ago when he was playing in a tournament, and they played that, and it was fun. And I also, because, you know, I've done it. I've been a PA announcer at a major league sporting event. I was a PA announcer at the Capitals game when I subbed for another guy and did the real stuff. So I thought, and by the way, I was also almost the PA announcer for the Boston Red Sox spring training games down here till they hired that Nad, who I will always be jealous of, you know. And now, number two, Dustin Pedroia. Hope you're happy with that, Red Sox, with that guy that you hired over me.
I only would have done it once.
I'm sure
they're fine. Maybe he passed, Mike.
No. I've gone to a spring training. There is. And then, I love that.
That is a great walk-up.
This is what, isn't it? It's just walk-up music.
It's good come from the bullpen music because it's got such a lead up.
That's good, too. So I played that for Michael. And, Rob, in answer to your question, I usually manage to take in at least one spring training game.
Okay.
As of last year, the Nad was still there.
Had he gotten any better? What happens sometimes is when they have an angle like that guy talking like this, it gets worse. Had it gotten worse?
Oh, no, brother. No, brother. This is a P-A-T.
He's got that kind of voice. Blue giggy.
That's the way he. So I'm doing the scoreboard, and I'm doing a pretty good job. Mm-hmm. And I'll get to that in a second. But a couple of times, every now and then, you might lose a count, and it might be like 2-1, and you've got 1-1, and the umpire. But then as the game progresses, well, two things happened. Deep into the game, the umpire, who was a very nice gentleman, you'd like him, Josh, because the hat that he showed up to the game with, didn't wear it during the game, said something God on it. It had God is your, you know, not your co-pilot, but God shows you the way. A hat like that. So he's a God-fearing umpire.
God has a great walk-up song.
God is the God calls balls and strikes.
Right. Was there a reference to his revolver on the backside of the hat?
You know, it's funny you mentioned that because I think we did say, don't question that umpire. You might get shot.
There's definitely a Florida thing where they have combined God and gun.
Yes, they have. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You see it in the back of some pickup trucks. You know, God, America, Smith & Wesson, and not necessarily in that order. Yes. So the guy, but he's a super nice guy. And here's one thing he did that I've never seen an umpire do. The other team was short-staffed with kids and with coaches. So the umpire actually warmed up their pitcher in between innings a couple of times, which I thought was super cool. He finished it the first time, and I said, hey, Blue, way to go, Blue, go in the extra mile. And then everybody gave him a round of applause.
Did that affect any balls and strike calls?
Not a bit. No. Didn't help Michael from getting called out on strikes last night. Yeah!
Did you yell out Blue Lives Matter?
No, I did not, Rob. I didn't have the pleasure of doing that. And as he is calling the game, I just thought that was really cool. And then he becomes aware that Michael, who's catching, is my son. And Michael had one of those catcher's games where he got dinged up. He got one in the berries, and thank God we bought the extra new shiny carbon fiber cup last week. The big one, expensive, about $45.
And then
caught one in the leg, and just a lot of in rec league, a lot of errant pitches, a lot of bouncing around the plate and doing that. And he did a hell of a job stopping some of these balls. Some of them caused a little damage, but in between, the umpire comes over. And by the way, I've got a bleacher full of parents. I've got my wife, my friend Corey, Corey's wife, all next to me. There's a bit of a gang. And he stands about 20 feet from me at the scoreboard where I'm running it behind the home plate. And he says, that's a tough kid. How long is your... And then he says in a very loud voice, how long has your grandson been playing?
And I
realized at that moment that I'm really cool with people doing that one-on-one, right? Where you correct them and you're kind of you're almost proud of it, right? Mm-hmm. But when he did it in front of everybody, and then I look over and Corey's wife, Corey, and Carla are all looking over their left shoulders at me, and they're looking at me like this. And I didn't look him back at me, but I heard a titter. I definitely heard a titter as everyone is saying, he's a father, not a grandfather. There you go.
What time was this game last night?
This 6 o'clock game, six to eight.
Yeah. All right, because I'm trying to place it because you were in a goofy mood yesterday evening sending some text.
I was.
Probably around like 5 o'clock.
Right before the game. So, I get excited. Right. I'm very excited going to the old ball yard. That's the way I roll. And it was, it just was a little pang of embarrassment. I don't know if this caused it or the fact that they came back from like 10 to 3, 10 to 5, 10. They mounted a real comeback. And in the bottom of the fifth inning, which is the end of the game, that's their last at bat. They do it by inning or they do it by time.
Okay.
Yes. And in this case, they did it, I think it was fifth inning time. And
It's normally like an hour 10. You can't start another inning.
That's exactly
like that.
How it rolls. Mm-hmm.
But
and, yes.
What was Grandpa's response?
Grandpa's response, I didn't hesitate. I said, that's my son. And he's like,
Did you quickly point out his mom?
At this point, no, I did not. But what I did say, I remembered the hat. Now, the hat was covered up at this point with his regular umpire hat.
Okay.
And he looked at me, and I'm a little perturbed, I never get that way about it because it happens all the time.
Sure.
But I get a little perturbed at it. And so this is what I said to him. He didn't seem to get offended, but maybe I was trying to. He said, well, God bless you. And I looked at him and I said, God damn right. And it went on. Then
two things, Mike. Yes. I'm surprised that Carla did not explode with laughter when that happened.
She was mild. She was looking at me like she looks at me when she says I have wooden teeth, or she looks at me when something is yesterday.
Don't embarrass me. Like, look.
No,
like, don't
it's
freak
a, no.
Out.
It's a look at the joy that I'm being embarrassed. That's the joy. It's the sheer, unbridled euphoria that I am being embarrassed. Just like when I came out to walk the dogs and I was wearing these pants I wore from maybe a couple of years ago, and she said, "Good morning, Charlie." I said, "Why are you calling me Charlie?" She said, "Charlie Chaplin." Those pants look like Charlie Chaplin.
A little oversized.
Just wonderful compliments constantly happening to me.
Well, your response. I like the umpire's response. You should just stick with that. God bless you.
Well, no, you see, that bothers me more than anything because it reminds me of the end of, Christmas is Coming. Is if you haven't got a halfpenny, then God bless you. It's like, well, the hell with you. You don't have anything.
What's a halfpenny?
It's a half penny. You know, it goes, Christmas is coming. The goose is getting fat. Please put a penny in the old man's hat. If you haven't got a penny, a halfpenny will do. If you haven't got a halfpenny, God bless you. And so it's like dismissive to me.
Well, the news will have a story about nobody will have pennies anymore.
That's right.
And I don't think anyone else gets that reference.
Oh, a lot of people do. A lot of people do. A lot of people over the age of 90.
No, no one has always said, well, whenever they hear God bless you, oh, that reminds me of a halfpenny.
Well, no, but it's dismissive. Don't you think it's sort of dismissive?
It's not.
You're dismissive.
Oh, I'm dismissive. I don't think I am. I'm just saying that he should have said, oh, I'm sorry, or oh, okay. But no, it's just like, well, God bless you. I'm too busy for this. And he's gone.
I don't think God bless you is ever used as dismissive.
I think it was in that case by that gun owner.
No, he was being nice.
No,
I think.
It was being nice.
He was being kind.
It was like congratulations.
He was being kind, and then they were laughing at me, and I think everybody. And you know how I roll. I think everybody's laughing at me at that particular time because everybody is. That's the fact of the matter.
Well, you've made a nice career of it, Mike.
I mean, you know, I get it. I understand how ridiculous I can be. I really do.
But you've made a few hay pennies.
I back in the day, I did. Yeah. You know, kept me chugging all this time, you know, still been able to buy a loaf of bread at the grocery store. Thank you, Jesus. Still able to pay $10 million to get a stupid import fixed. Carly informed me the parts came in 2 days ago. Yay.
You know what I would say if she told me the parts came in? I'd say, well, God bless you.
Why are you fidgeting so? What are you doing over there? Your body is – what do you do when you're sitting outside? Are you uncomfortable or are you – your body is moving constantly, is much more so than it does.
I made a note of what something that was said for later. That's all.
Was it dirty?
No. It's okay. Hey, Penny.
Oh, hey, Penny. That's all it is. Okay. Yeah. All right. Very good. All right. So the game continues, and late in the game, very end of the game, the Navy team, that's what we're called, playing the gray team. That's they mm-hmm. the in fall ball rec, they call the teams. Like, they don't like the Twins or the Red Sox. They call them by the different colors, the red
like
team, the gray
Civil
team.
Civil War in your game then.
The Blues and the Grays.
Exactly.
It was, and it was the blue-gray game last night because we, the Blues, were playing the Grays. And we mount a comeback. They bring a pitcher in, and we start getting some hits. We start getting some walks. And lo and behold, it is 10-9, and apparently I lost my focus on the scoreboard because when you're running the scoreboard, you can lose focus on the game itself. And if you are going to focus on the game, you lose focus on the scoreboard. You're supposed to just run the scoreboard and not think mm-hmm. about the game. I did the opposite. I was, because I'm a competitive F.
Sure.
And I really want, I want to win no matter what. I really mm-hmm. do. I'm hyper competitive that way. And by the way, so is the gray coach. And I'll mention his little slime ball moves at the end of the game. You know, that kept it a tie. It ended up in a tie. I'll give the end result first. Yes.
It's
go ahead.
The same reason that in all my years of church service, I always refuse and tell everyone I cannot run the lyrics because mm-hmm. you have to pay attention or everyone stares at you. And
yes.
if you get involved mm-hmm. and focus on something else,
yes,
then you completely are screwed up. And that's
I've
what
got
happened
you
to you
all
in the game.
Tied up in knots and I'm loving you lots,
lots and lots.
So
I haven't heard that in a while.
The game is tied. The game is, they're going towards time. They're getting one run. And we had, it was 10-9, two men on, no outs. And we still ended up tying, but man, oh man, we should have won the game. But I
what if you had just given the team an extra run on the scoreboard?
It's funny you mentioned that.
Oh.
Underneath.
You don't want to cause a problem where the coaches have to
come out. Do you remember when I said after a player gets on base or makes an out, you have to cycle through the balls and strikes to clear it?
Uh-huh.
I wasn't paying attention to where my fingers were on the scoreboard. And I am cycling through the balls, and I'm looking, all I'm doing on the scoreboard, I'm not looking at the whole scoreboard, I'm looking down at the balls and strikes. And I said, it's not cycling through. And I look up, Carla says, Mike. And I look up, and where I was cycling through, I was actually hitting home team runs.
Oh, no.
And I looked up, and we had gone from 9 runs to 14 runs.
That's and one way to win.
But I was taught, Howard, the guy that runs the whole thing, he's the elder statesman, and his name's on a field, his name's on the building. He's a wonderful human being, and he's just super cool, super fun. Howard had taught me how to correct the score, where you can go in to the score, to the number keypad, and put set score and then enter, and you'll, and I went back to 10 to 10. I got it back to 10
Perfect.
To 10.
That's great.
And but at that point, I've blown it because at the key moment of the game, I've effed up big time.
Yeah.
I've effed up big time. And I heard him from the other side, what's going on with the scoreboard? Well, why don't you get a quiet, parents? Why don't you get off your fat asses and come on and do what I'm doing because I'm volunteering, okay? Too shy to cheer, trasherinos.
Wow.
Sorry, it's the way I feel, you know?
Yeah.
You don't sit there, what, because you're shy, you don't want to cheer for your kid? How about a name? We might know the kids' names better if maybe a parent would even mention their kid's name.
Yeah. Except the three that get mentioned every single time. Josh, do you see my point here where parents don't? That's how you learn names, is because a parent cheers for their kid.
Yes.
Was Easton yelling at where his parents?
Easton's on the travel team. Easton's not. Easton's dad, and I know Easton. I know everybody on the travel team because the travel team gets the engaged parents that everybody knows about. And Easton's dad runs the Game Changer. Now, getting back there, but I digress. Hold on.
Okay.
I digress here. And at this particular point, it's 10 to 10. There are no outs. At one point, there's a pass ball. The batter in the box, the batter at third, the runner at third comes in and scores. We would have won the game. The coach says that batter should be out. To make a long story short, they called batter interference with the catcher, and they tied the game at 10-10. So there was one out.
Okay, I'm not a sports guy. Can you explain to me batter interference?
The bat probably hit the glove.
It didn't. He was just talking about where he stood. He was conjuring. He made it up. He had the ear of the umpire, and he allowed the out, and the out suddenly became two outs. And then our best hitter comes up, and our best hitter gets a 1-0 count, and the coach, with a 10-10 game, comes out and decides he's going to, in a rec game, intentionally walk that particular bat, and then the next guy struck out, and it ended up being a tie. And a tie's fine if you like ties. I don't like ties. I like competition. I like blood and guts competition, and that coach is a hump.
What's the mood on the team, of Michael's team, with a tie?
Probably the way the parents feel, probably the way everybody feels. You want a winner and a loser. You want
a whole day.
Yeah. You want one team to be running around the field joyously and another team to be crying. Okay. That it's not a good contest if that doesn't happen. That's the way I look at that. And and Michael had kind of a meh game, but played a good game at catcher. So he walked twice and he struck out once. So that was not a stellar game for him. And I'm used to that that stick, you know.
Yeah.
We pay a lot of attention to baseball in the O'Mara household. And for those of you around the country where it's 11 degrees below zero, I know you can't relate to this, but that's the way it is. So we rock and roll. And it was another great night. And that's my life. That's what I do down here. But the moral of the story is probably be a while before I run the scoreboard again because I messed it up. And I messed it up because I wasn't focused on it. You have to have laser focus. And if you have that laser focus, you're not going to be able to sit in your little camp chair, eat sunflower seeds, and just watch the kids play baseball.
Well, you're working. If you're doing it, you're working. And there's no excuse to have a good time.
Exactly.
Is there any other jobs you can volunteer for that require less focus that you can pull off?
I can be who's the guy?
How about is there a parent that keeps the dugout organized?
Not that I'm aware of. When I ran a rec team, I had all that. I ran it like a tight ship. Ran a tight ship for my rec team, and then I was told by one of my coaches that I was overdoing it. And I was like, lick it. I'm trying to do things correctly here.
That's not what you want to hear ever. No, you're not overdoing it.
So where would you have to volunteer? The concession stand?
No, because that's done. No. I'll do it again, but not for a long time. And then at the end at the very, very end, this is the last part of this, and for people to go, well, it's part of my life, and I'm telling a story, so lick it.
That's
all right?
Not really about baseball.
At the very end of the game, I start scratching my leg on the outside of my thigh. I'm wearing long pants because it's cold.
Look at you.
And I'm scratching, and it's a little itch, and then it's like a big itch. And then by the time I got home, from the top of my knee all the way up mid-thigh was all swelled up. And it occurred to me that while I'm on this wooden 1910 bench that they use for the scoreboard, some creepy crawler crawled up and bit me. I got bit.
I was thinking maybe the previous person keeping score had poison ivy.
I don't think so. No, it's still there, but I couldn't find the little.
Did you itch through your pants?
Yes, I itched through my pants, and I felt I was looking Even as soon as this morning, I was looking for fang marks on my leg because I couldn't see any. But it was something. It couldn't be anything else, right? Unless, of course, I've got Rob's father's thing where there's something in my blood. But I don't think that's the case.
I think it's a spider bite.
I think it was and I realized, this bench, this homemade rec department wooden bench made in somebody's wood shop stays in the dank, dirty, musty equipment closet most of the time, and that's probably where it got the Black Widow or Brown Recluse. Now, the swelling's gone down.
It wasn't a Black Widow or a Brown Recluse because you'd be dead.
No, Brown Recluse won't kill you. A Black Widow won't necessarily kill you.
Well, you hadn't treated it all night. You'd be at least ill today.
There'd at least be some color.
I was, let me look at it. I got shorts on this morning. A little warmer down here in South. What's the temperature where you are? Is it still chilly where you are, Rob?
It's a little warmer here. Right.
It's going to be a little warmer today. It's like 72 right now.
You know when something swells to the point where you feel your browser has lost connection?
Yeah. You moved your leg. You kicked the wire out for your camera.
Jesus Christ.
A spider bit the wire.
Yeah. Swear to God. Ooh.
Hey, he's back.
Unbelievable.
Are they really short shorts, Mike?
Seriously, connections that are so fucking frail that I brush my foot across it. I'll fix it someday. Oh, God, I'm so old. Anyway, getting back to the thing, I was bitten by something in that. That was the end of my baseball world. That was my baseball story.
Is it better this morning, though?
A little bit, but it's sore. Good. It's less swollen, but sore, like a bite would be.
No need for an amputation.
No need to go to what they have down here in South Florida, the wound clinic.
Oh, that's so gross.
It is gross, isn't it? The wound clinic, you know? Has your dad had any wound doctors come and see him?
Yes, he has, and I missed the greatest.
How's he doing, by the way? How about an update on your old man? You're leaving tomorrow, so. Leaving Saturday.
Yeah. Rough night last night for him because he had a procedure during the day where they open up and wash out his knee where there is a lot of infection right now still. And he had to do that because of the procedure. He got general anesthesia. It was supposed to be a 1 o'clock procedure. Of course, it was 3. And he's not allowed to eat all day. So his blood sugar, this is the first screw up I've seen the hospital make, really. They let his blood sugar go down to like 40, which is where you stop making sense. And you can't think. And he got down to do the procedure, and he wasn't able to answer the standard questions, and they were going to deny him the procedure yesterday. So Kathy went down and said, have you checked his blood sugar? And it was too low.
Is she in the medical biz? Does she know?
No. She's in HR, but so she knows how to do that.
I mean, it's just knowledge to ask that question.
Yeah, but I mean, he's been diabetic my whole life, so I would have asked the same thing probably had I gone down. But they gave him some glucose and he came around right quick and they were able to do it. But because of the low blood sugar, he slept all day and then he doesn't do well with general anesthesia. So last night he was agitated again. And for the first time, we
make
came
him
home.
Sick. Does it make him nauseous when he gets
sick? Well, no, it screws with his head.
Okay.
We got a call last night. He hadn't made a phone call since he'd been in the hospital almost 3 weeks today. And he called Kathy and he said, you need to come get me. I'm ready to get out of here. And she says, no, I can't. You can't stand on your leg. And it just goes back and forth. And she's on speakerphone and I'm listening. And this is, as we discuss, when a loved one is not making sense, it's scary and it's tragic. And he's going to be okay because, you know, that anesthesia will get out of his system and his blood sugar will be okay today. And chances are he won't even remember last night. But, I mean, to the point when he's yelling at both of us, that we're not able to help him.
I'm sorry. I asked.
So no, it's all right. I mean, this is a long, long journey, and we're gonna be okay. He's gonna get better. But last night was tough. I think he'll be much better today.
Yeah, so. I guess at this point in time, you get to the point where for anybody that's dealt with that type of thing, you're just dying to get him out of there, right? I mean, that's
100%. Yeah, and it's gonna be like maybe around Christmas because he's got that much antibiotic stuff to do, and then he's got to go to PT. So he can stand because, you know, Kathy's not strong enough to move him.
Yeah.
He's a big guy. So there's a lot of stuff ahead of him, but nothing that's insurmountable. We just got our fingers crossed.
And I guess far enough along that you know it's the medicines causing the confusion and not the infection.
What's crazy is it occurred to me last night, the last time he had general anesthesia, he had a rotten day. He just does bad with anesthesia, but well, it's not anything you can avoid.
I know you said Christmas, but please make sure that he gets out a little earlier because I need him to run the scoreboard. So be aware of that. All right.
He's going to actually run it with his infection, Mike. Yes,
that's run it with his. You made it grosser. Anyway, that's good.
I can make it if you want it to be really gross.
No,
I can
no,
do
that's
that.
Okay. We'll pass
all right,
on
maybe
that.
Maybe during the bonus show, I'll tell you that.
This holiday season, what does comfort look like to you? For me, it's slowing down, finding calm amid the chaos, and making home a place where everyone can truly relax. That's where Avocado Green Mattress comes in. Avocado helps you create your own natural oasis, a calm, cozy space filled with certified organic comfort. Their handcrafted mattresses are designed for deeper, more restorative sleep, and their breathable pillows and soft organic bedding bring that same luxury to every part of your home. Hosting family this year, Avocado's sustainable furniture, like their beautifully made city bed frame, helps you create a warm, inviting space where everyone sleeps well and feels cared for. Everything Avocado makes is thoughtfully crafted with the planet in mind, certified organic, non-toxic, and built to last, so you can feel good about the comfort you bring into your home, because Avocado believes in being better for you and better for the planet. Prioritize rest and recharge with Avocado's organic comfort. Head to avocadogreenmattress.com today to create your natural oasis and save big during their holiday sale. Avocado, dream of better. Everybody, let me tell you something. The holidays sneak up fast like a tiger or maybe a cheetah. Remember, folks, cheetahs never prosper. Look at, he wrote, he still takes time, even with his father in the hospital, he wrote me a new copy. God bless you. This year, get ahead and have fun doing it. Uncommon Goods is get ahead and have fun doing it.
Yeah, you got to do it, Mike.
Uncommon Goods is your go-to for thousands of unique, high-quality gifts. We've all got them. You won't find them anywhere else. Moms, dads, kids, teens, book lovers, all the people in your life, football fanatics, history buffs, foodies, mixologists, green thumbers, there's something for everyone. I got me a lap desk, and Rob got him a radio that looks vintage but has a Bluetooth speaker right now.
Ooh.
Plus, every purchase gives back. $1 goes to a nonprofit of your choice. They've donated over $30 million so far. Shop smart, give great, and feel good about it. That's Uncommon Goods. Uncommon Goods makes holiday shopping stress-free and joyful with thousands of one-of-a-kind gifts you can't find anywhere else. That's what we all want to give somebody,
sure.
Something
yeah.
They'd never see anywhere else. Shop early, shop often, have fun. Cross some names off your list today to get 15% off your next gift. Go to uncommongoods.com/TMOS. That's uncommongoods.com/TMOS for 15% off. Don't miss out on this limited offer. Uncommon Goods, we're all out of the ordinary.
And now it's time for a new segment. It's called Florida Tidbits, where and Mike now, brings up nuggets of news that you can discuss.
Yes, you're
with
talking
your
too close to the microphone and distorting it again and fidgeting like I've never seen you fidget. So please.
Maybe you need some general anesthesia.
I think he needs some drugs. Give him some drugs.
Take
please, a gummy.
Bring it. Bring
Take
it.
A gummy. Please.
There was definitely a gummy with that copy written last night.
Flight reductions at 40 major U.S. airports will remain at 6% instead of rising to 10%. Why doesn't that? I mean, I'm all happy about the shutdown ending, but so it's going to stay at the crappy level that it was, as opposed to reducing
just for a little
from
bit
six. Okay,
while you get everyone back.
So
I see.
They said before the shutdown ended that it would rise to 10% by the end of the week because more air traffic controllers would not be there, but they're coming back to work. The announcement was made as Congress took steps to end the longest government shutdown in history. Not long after, President Trump signed a government funding bill to end the closure. The flight cuts were implemented last week as more air traffic controllers were calling out of work, citing stress and the need to take on second jobs, leaving more control towers and facilities short-staffed. I want to say
something. Government.
I want to say something to my people. All right. For those of you that are calling out the seven Democratic senators that broke ranks with the rest of the Democrats and they're saying, this is why they win all the da-da-da.
F you and your families too. Let me tell you why. Look, the bottom line with all this, you want to change things? I don't give a rat's ass about the game. What I give a rat's ass about is getting the vote out. All right? Mm-hmm. You want to get this clown college gold-plated dip S out of the, out of, in his people out of office? Get your people to vote.
Yeah.
They didn't vote last time. They didn't come out. That's mm-hmm. the whole thing. Turnout. And don't blame it on senators that wanted to make sure that some government workers maybe are going to have a paycheck for Christmas,
yeah,
for Christ's sake.
Don't use us as your pawns.
Yeah.
Shut up, Josh.
I'm helping you out.
Thank you.
I sat in a delay for 6 hours thanks to this stuff.
By the way, he wants to take everything, you know. He wants to take Social Security. He wants to take Medicare.
I want to take it all. I just want to wish good luck to the government because I know this was the longest shutdown ever, but I feel if they apply themselves, the one in January can be even longer. So good luck.
Thanks, Rob. The flight cuts were implemented last week as more air traffic controllers were calling out of work, citing stress and the need to take on second jobs. I just sometimes can't wrap my head around it. I can't wrap my head around how that works.
Here's
but that's
where
looking
lucky.
Backwards, not forwards. Yes.
We're lucky that the second job isn't as a pilot. Because you want that to be their primary job.
The Department of Transportation said the flight reduction decision was made on recommendations from the Federal Aviation Administration's safety team. Glad they haven't gutted them, Elon, after a rapid decline in controller callouts.
Okay.
So by the time you fly Saturday back to Virginia, as you go a couple of weeks and then fly back down, I hope that things run smoothly, unlike they did for Josh when he flew.
I will update all of you as I go. So I hope, fingers crossed. But I also got the first flight out. So if they postpone it, I'm not going to be driving overnight, hopefully, like Josh.
Well,
that's the best plan.
That's not the only problem we have with employees in the world. Listen to this. More than 1,000 unionized Starbucks workers plan to strike at 65 U.S. 65? Don't they have 3 million stores?
Yes, they do.
We have 65 on Route 1 down here.
And they probably have 3 million employees.
Yeah. And they're going to strike at 65 stores today to protest a lack of progress in labor negotiations with the company. The strike was intended to disrupt Starbucks' Red Cup Day, which is typically one of the company's busiest days of the year. Since 2018, Starbucks has given out free reusable cups on that day to customers who buy a holiday drink.
Wasn't that the cup that Michael was wearing last night? Is that a red cup?
Yeah.
How many people did you say are striking?
65 stores, 1,000 unionized workers.
That's going to make a dent because they have 200,000 baristas.
Yep. Starbucks Workers United, the union organizing the baristas, said stores in 45 cities would be impacted, including Nueva York, Philadelphia, Minneapolis, San Diego, St. Louis, Dallas, Columbus, Starbucks home in Seattle as well. So I don't know whether that'll make a big deal.
It's over the cup. It's not like poor conditions as an employee.
It's because they... They want them to. What is the reason they're striking? Hold on. They want to labor negotiations. They want more money.
Okay.
They want more money. That's all it
There's no money to be had, Mike. When you sell a 5 cent cup of coffee for $6, where does it go?
Exactly. Why do you have 17 million a day open around the world? Because you are selling flavored water, essentially. Mm-hmm. We stopped at Starbucks on the way back from the ball game last night. For me, I wanted a hot cocoa
that you can eat.
A hot cocoa. And by the way, the ridiculously overpriced hot cocoa didn't taste quite as cocoa-y at the top because it was just a powder put in the bottom of a cup and stirred up like something you'd get in a grocery store.
Grandpa.
Yeah. Grandpa wanted a cup of cocoa.
A Starlight Mint.
And a Starlight Mint. All right. Well, I played this already.
Yeah.
If you have any pennies buried in your couch, under the mess inside your car, or in a bucket in your garage, you should hold on to them. They may be worth something someday. Back in February, President Trump directed the Treasury Department to stop producing new pennies. I want everyone to stop producing new pennies. I want them to produce gold. Gold plating. I saw a picture
of gold is strong. Gold is good. Gold is smart.
I saw a picture of the Oval Office.
It's a hideous thing.
It is incredibly tacky.
It is so ugly. It is so ugly. It looks just. It's one thing if you didn't see.
It looks like gold paint, not gold.
Yeah, it looks like maybe plastic painted gold. But it if you've seen the Oval Office, which had that kind of look to it, that was don't F with us, and now it looks like
classic,
kind of a.
Yeah.
It's I don't get it. It has Caesar's Palace type.
Someone did a presentation that I saw the broad picture. Some of those golden fixtures are from Home Depot. I kid you not.
Yeah, I don't buy that. I think it's more the other way, that Home Depot makes knockoffs of expensive things.
So you think, like, if you went into the Oval Office and you took one down, it certainly wouldn't be solid gold.
No.
Right?
No. Uh-uh.
Maybe flaked.
Like, no, I think it's painted plastic.
But I think it's because of all these overseas trips. Instead of being here, he's going and seeing like other countries and
like castles and palaces and stuff like that.
Okay. And he's like, "Well, I want that.
Let's go with that." Yesterday, the last ever U.S. penny was minted in Philadelphia. The U.S. Mint in Philly has been making pennies since 1793, when they were made of 100% copper. Since 1982, pennies have been made of copper-plated zinc, which is 97.5% zinc and just 2.5% copper. Trump said we shouldn't make any more because pennies cost more than a penny to produce. That is true. Yeah. According to the U.S. Mint, each penny actually cost, that's a thing that he can get his head around, right?
Yeah, and
you know, you can't disagree with that, right? If it's costing more than a penny to make them,
and
come on.
Nickels are the next to go because nickels have the same issue.
There you go. They cost too much, more than a nickel to make.
Yes.
Billions of pennies are still in circulation, will remain legal tender, but new ones will no longer be made. And Rob, you asked me if I was going to have that.
I hate this. I actually sent a sympathy card to Alan Leinwand that pennies are going away, but I feel for the fact that there are coin collectors out there and there are people that like their pennies. So as an offer, Mike, any listener that wants to get rid of their pennies, mail them to me.
Well,
and I will properly dispose of them for you.
Have you heard how McDonald's is handling this?
How are they doing it?
By ripping you off.
Really?
Are they rounding up?
Rounding to the nearest five. So if your bill is 98 cents, they will round it to a dollar. But if it's 97 cents, they will round to 95.
Oh, God.
But how much do you want to bet that most of their things end in 8?
Oh, they'll figure that out, of course.
You know, they'll do the math so everything rounds up.
Yeah.
And that means so much more money for them. Think of that. If they get 2 cents on everything they sell.
Rob coined a term years and years and years ago that we used to say wherever we go. If we go to an airport, we go to a shopping mall, we go anywhere, Rob would say this one thing about, like, consumerism in America. And I've never forgotten it. Go ahead, Rob. Lay it on us.
That is how they get you. That's how they get you. And I can tell you where we were.
They get you.
I know where we coined it, Mike. You and I were trying to drunkenly talk our way into a Tom Jones concert.
True. In Reno, Nevada.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. And they said something like, well, these are not valid, or you're not a part of our players club, or something like that.
Right.
I just looked at my head and said, that's how they get you.
That's how they
get
you.
That's how they get you. Yeah.
That's how they get you. Yeah.
And it's the office space plot line where they steal a penny per transaction to become
millionaires. Yeah, which was in fact stolen from Superman 4 or 3, the one with Richard
Pryor.
That's
right.
Yeah.
That's right. They're all out to get us, ladies and
gentlemen. That is how they get you.
You know who's got a lot of pennies? Elon Musk.
Good segue.
Tesla shareholders approved a pay package for Elon Musk that could make him a trillionaire in the next decade.
If everyone in the world drives a Tesla.
Well, it's not as difficult as you might think. It's not everyone, but if it happens, here's what Elon could buy with that money. I didn't put all of them down, but I wrote this is just so gross.
Yeah.
He could buy 1,428 Shohei Ohtanis. The Dodgers are paying him $700 million over 10 years. He could buy every single car sold in the United States this year. He could buy 2,000 Jeff Bezos yachts or 465 Icons of the Seas. That's Royal Caribbean's Icon of the Seas.
Yeah, that's a beautiful ship. It is.
The largest cruise ship. He could buy the entire Ivy League five times over.
God.
Let's see. He could buy Switzerland.
And, you know, that would come in handy to have Switzerland. You know, if you really want to wrap your head around how much a trillion is, because it's easy to throw the word around, that is 1 million one millions. Think of that. Mm-hmm. If you had $1 million times a million, that's right. But that's a lot of money.
But everything that he has to do to earn this money is ridiculous, and Tesla will never get there.
Well, if he does, he could. Well, Switzerland's not for sale. Let me go on record saying that. He could buy every house in Hawaii, all 572,781 of them. There's some big ones, too.
Yeah, they are very big. I've seen Lilo and Stitch. I know what it's like over there.
He could buy Coca-Cola plus a 12-pack of Coke for everybody on Earth.
That would be nice. That would be a nice gesture.
He could buy all of these companies. Toyota, Volkswagen, Hyundai, Ford, GM, and Stellantis, which includes Fiat and Chrysler.
If he bought all of them and then he could close them, and then everyone would have to buy a Tesla.
He could buy ExxonMobil, Chevron, and ConocoPhillips, too, if he got that payback.
And he could shut them down, and then everyone has to use electricity.
How about that? See?
Yeah.
So maybe that's the conspiracy. Maybe he's on his way.
He just seems like such a good guy.
He does. Very nice man. Speaking of nice men, Kanye West is supposed to play Sao Paulo, Brazil on November 29th, but his newfound fascination with the Nazi Party could get him in trouble with the government. According to local media, authorities have ordered police to be on standby to arrest Kanye on the spot if he, quote, sings a song or makes any kind of apology for Nazism. That would include, but certainly not be limited to, his recent track, Heil Hitler. I didn't know that he had a track called Heil Hitler.
Josh, I'm curious. You know, Brazil has a complicated relationship with the Nazi Party. Are you familiar with the movie The Boys from Brazil?
Is it the boys from or the boys of?
I thought it was from, but either way.
Isn't Brazil where, like, apparently Hitler and some other guys escaped?
Yeah, they were escaped. They actually said that they went to South America where it was favorable, and some of them did. Eichmann went to, right? Didn't they catch him in Argentina or something like that?
They capture the DNA of the Führer, and they make a little Hitler. It's a fascinating comedy.
It's not even a guarantee that Kanye's show will go on. He got booted from the original venue that was booked because of his Hitler BS, and he still hasn't found a new one. So not looking like that's going to happen. I don't know.
He's playing the Rommel Arena down there. It's going to be a nice show.
By the way, now that calls for my – I wish I had two things to look through. I'll use my hands. From the movie Patton.
Okay, thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, George S. Patton, played by George C. Scott.
Thank you.
Rommel, you magnificent bastard, I read your book! Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you.
I know you don't normally do requests, Mike, but one of my favorites, and we're right here, so I feel I must ask, Charlie does that line too. Is Charlie at your house today?
Yeah, all right. Let me get Charlie. I don't have the door.
Okay. He's coming through the revolving door, but Charlie loves the movie.
Charlie's in the closet. Charlie.
Okay. Hi, Charlie.
Rommel, you magnificent bastard. I read your book. Thank you.
Thank you, Charlie.
Finally, a 21-year-old woman in Florida named Yasmin Erazo was caught super speeding at 107 miles per hour last Thursday. The posted speed limit was 55. She was pulled over at 11:52 a.m. And when the officer asked why she was driving so fast, she said she was desperately trying to make it to Little Caesars before they closed at midnight.
Oy.
Yasmin is now facing a charge of dangerous and excessive speeding under a new Florida law that went into effect on July 1st. I love this law because the excessive speeding, you get more of a fine. Penalties for a first offense include up to 30 days in jail, a fine of up to $500, or both. And it's a good law. Florida, it gives me a chance to give us a new slogan. We haven't done
This is great because Florida has a lot of slogans, and they're always coming up with new ones.
It doesn't get better than this because it's simple and simple works. Ladies and gentlemen, Florida, we're so dumb we can't tell time.
Thank you.
Thank you. Very good.
But Mike, you're missing. You buried the lead. The fact that someone would care anything about Little Caesars.
I know.
It's the worst restaurant in the world.
I really enjoy
Little Caesars.
I do too. It's great when you have kids, you know? Just get a pile of pies for like $2 a pie.
And they've got these little cup pizza things now that are really good.
And by the way, the Little Caesars near me is right next to the Spin and Win. Which is the arcade casino.
Sounds like a place on your lap.
Josh would name it.
By the way, back in the day, and by the way, they've shut them all down now because apparently they're fidgeting with the machines to rip people off. Can you believe it?
No more penny slots.
No more penny slots for us. But one of the big things about Spin and Win, which was right next to Little Caesars, is you go to the Spin and Win, and when you're losing your $50, you can get a slice of pizza. You can eat.
Have
they done a little partnership where you can win a coupon for Little Caesars?
No, not that sophisticated. No, because I believe that the owner was from another land. That's just the way
I observe. Maybe it was from Italy, like Caesar.
No, not Italy. No, you're in the wrong hemisphere. This episode is powered by Incogni, your personal data bodyguard. Here's the truth. Data brokers are out there scooping up your info, names, addresses, even that number that secures you socially. You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Then these jerks sell it to scammers, spammers, shady marketers. That's why your phone won't stop a buzzing and your inbox is always a chaos. Data breaches are increasing each and every year. So yeah, it's time to fight back. Incogni wipes your data from over 230 brokers. They keep monitoring it and they push back when they resist. So your info stays off their list, period. Flexible plans for individuals and families. They have them for you at Incogni. Plus a 30-day money-back guarantee. Protection has never been easier. Bottom line, if your data's out there, you need Incogni. They're an incredible partner. If you like us, check them out too, please. It really means a lot to this show. Use code TMOS at Incogni.com/TMOS to get an exclusive 60% off an annual Incogni plan. Incogni.com/TMOS. That's Incogni.com/TMOS. Okay. Beloved celebrities.
Yeah.
We're a culture of celebs. We really, really are. I love celebrities. You should too.
Thank you. And good night.
Yes. Good night, everybody. Rob came to us this morning and said, I have a list of celebrities who are loved to see how many you hate. Now, I don't know anything about this list. Go ahead.
I've had a lot of time the past 3 weeks, and I've been scrolling on my phone like everyone does. I don't know how people did hospital stays before their – and I guess they had magazines. But I was scrolling through threads, and this was a very long thread. And it was people are naming celebrities that nobody hates. And I said, oh, there's got to be some people that hate some people. Because, we're just hateful people on this show and hateful people out there, too. So one of the first ones that was posted was Jeff Goldblum. And he got some slapback because people were saying he's weird and he shows up in weird places.
No, I'm in Team Goldblum. I think he is a lovable celebrity. And I have always – he makes me laugh when I see him. Any of his commercials are – they're just fun. Now – if I was hanging out with him for a weekend, I'd probably hate his ass by the end of the weekend. Because he's needy and arrogant and all. But as far as his persona, I think it's a lovable persona. And that's the way I judge.
I've got no reason to hate him.
Yep.
I've loved him ever since he was Brundlefly. Anyone that can throw up on camera like that is okay with me.
And the thing is, the celebrities that become caricatures of themselves...
Yeah.
I think that's just so much fun. Shatner's an example of that.
They have to embrace it. And I think Goldblum has embraced it.
Absolutely. 100%.
Yeah. Mike, everyone loves Mr. Rogers. That's a pretty safe bet, don't you think?
No.
Why?
Because I don't.
Why don't you like Mr. Rogers?
What's your problem with Mr. Rogers?
I hated the act.
It creeps me out.
I wouldn't leave my kid in a rec room.
He was a preacher.
I know he's a preacher. That's where have you looked at the molestations of in America and how many people are clergymen?
He wasn't.
Come
a
on
Catholic
now,
priest.
That doesn't change my mind. Yeah. I know it's not just the Catholics. All right, come on. Yeah. No, it's just like, won't you? I'm gonna put a sweater on right now. I mean, really. Hold on just a second. If we buck the PR machine, right. If we Fred Rogers.
Fred
has been shoved down our throats for years as the kindly. I think it's a hype machine. I thought he was the source of comedy, but I was never like, you know, I don't fall into that category where I love the guy.
Did your kid ever watch him?
Probably not.
Yeah. I think he's a little passé.
He's a little dated. Yeah.
Well, he's for my age.
Yeah.
I watched him as a child. Uh-huh. So I have a soft spot for Mr. Rogers. Yeah.
For Mr. Okay. Well, that's, and I'm not gonna besmirch anybody that doesn't that likes Fred. But for me, it was just
Did you always feel he was having kids back to the dressing room to watch him change
his
shoes?
No, to be perfectly honest with you, that is not true. The way he sounded and the whole thing, I thought God, I gotta be really careful here.
That's all right.
I thought he was raising a generation of soft kids.
And he doesn't like them soft.
I thought that was the Wiggles that did that.
But you know what? With Fred Rogers, I was like, and by the way, I believe, I wrote it down on my show today about Jimmy Kimmel and empathy. I love empathy. I love empathetic. I love people that care about other people. I do. But at the same time, I also love sports. And in sports and in business and in America, sometimes, you know, you have to have that outer shell.
See,
you know?
But you don't know, Mike, that in college, Mr. Rogers was great rugby player.
Okay, let's move on, shall
okay.
we?
Okay. Paul Rudd. What do you think of Paul Rudd?
I don't know. Love is a strong word. I like Paul Rudd.
You don't hate him.
No, you don't hate him.
He doesn't seem like he'd be a problem to hang out with.
I don't think so.
He's short. Kind of I got a problem with that.
Is he short?
Very short. He's like 2'9". Okay. No, he's like 5 feet and change. Mike, everyone, and I don't think anyone's going to have a problem with
him. Is he that short? I never thought of him as short.
Can you bring up his height,
Josh? He's 5'10".
That's short for me. I thought he was shorter.
I love the way you just throw out a statistic that's complete BS.
He does it all the time. He throws out facts all the time that are things that no one cares to look up and gets away with it.
Well, he's made a career out of it.
Yeah. Well, you call this a career?
Yeah.
Diane Keaton, Mike. I know you love Diane.
Mine is. Anyway, go ahead.
Hey, no complaint here. No, not going to argue that. Diane Keaton, everyone loves her. She just passed away, but she had that lovely Christmas record that we heard a couple weeks ago. I think she's great.
And so short.
I don't fall into the category of love because really I found her during a period of her career to be like, if it was a Diane Keaton movie, I'd be like, ugh, I wouldn't watch it.
Something's got to give.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Just like the whole rap, I wasn't a Turbo fan of. Mm-hmm.
Does anyone dislike Harrison Ford?
No,
I think Harrison Ford. The movies are okay, but the personality is what I love. I love his curmudgeon-y personality.
Have you watched the show Shrinking yet on Apple TV?
He's absolutely a genius on that show. He is so good, and it's so perfect, the casting for him. But he's great on a talk show, too, and he's real, and I love that. You know?
If we go back to your Jeff Goldblum theory, could you spend a weekend with Harrison Ford?
It's interesting you bring that up. Not only, Rob, hold on, let me put my glasses on.
Thank you.
Not only could I spend a weekend, probably the better part of a month. So there you go.
All right. I like him too. Mm-hmm. Now, here's one I think might be a little polarizing.
I love this list, by the way. This is really good.
Noted painter Bob Ross.
Does anyone really care?
Exactly. Bingo to Soroka.
No one cares.
Nailing it.
He's a cartoon character.
I saw him. He was. It was curious, but no, not. I wouldn't feel strong enough to. By the way, the AI generated like dirty talk between Fred Rogers and this guy, the painter guy, makes me laugh. Yeah. That's funny, but I don't
love
care.
All of that stuff.
I don't care enough to love him or hate him.
You just made a good point. Is that one of those popular AI videos is about two people that no one dislikes?
Yeah, but I mean, I think that Fred Rogers, I didn't love the guy, and right. I didn't hate him, but I didn't really like him either. The Bob Ross, I
hate
have an
Bob
opinion.
Ross.
Why do you hate Bob Ross?
Because no one should be that optimistic. No one should be that happy all the time. And big deal, he could paint a tree. Every one of his paintings looks alike. He's no great artist.
Back up a little bit. When you get emotional, you really lean into your microphone. And it
Mike,
distorts.
No one hates Brendan Fraser. True or false?
Oh, I do. I do.
Okay, good. Why?
Because I think he makes crap. And I think that The Whale was like... vastly overrated.
Did you not like The Mummy?
That falls into the Bob Ross I don't care category.
Okay. What about Encino Man?
No, stupid movies. Dumb, stupid, lazy movies.
He did a Looney Tune
movie
as well.
Yeah, of course he did.
That's right. I remember
that. Of course
that.
He did. I don't care. Not a fan. Not a big fan. Not at all.
All right. Dick Van Dyke. I think that's a pretty easy guy to like.
Oh, I hate him.
Do you really?
Okay, why, Josh?
Just because Rob's obsessed. I have no foul on Dick at all.
Dick Van Dyke, I like him. He was real. We interviewed him. He was a good guy. Yeah, okay. I'm gonna say I've got nothing bad to say about Dick Van Dyke.
And I like the fact that he embraced the fact he was an alcoholic. He doesn't hide his foibles.
Programming note.
He won't die.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you want to point a finger, it's Rob Spiewak that brought Dick Van Dyke to the show this week. I want to go on record saying that is Rob, not
99-year-old Dick Van Dyke, Mike?
Yes. Yeah. You know what you're doing.
With his long, scraggly beard.
You're knowing.
I think he looks better than ever.
His birthday is a month away.
Mm.
Wow. 100.
Mike, come on. Does anyone dislike Willie Nelson?
No.
And this is good for you because you used to be a country jock.
Yet I do a fine Willie Nelson.
Please do.
If you have not had fallen, angel flying too close to the ground. See, everybody would do, you are always on my mind.
Right, yeah.
You know what everybody does with that impression? On the road again. No. If you're not a fallen. Yeah.
If you go to the song The Bird by the very talented Jerry Reed, his impression of him is Whiskey River that he does.
Whiskey River, take my mind. God, you know what? How do you not like Willie Nelson?
Really, yeah, I like Willie Nelson.
And not only the songs he sings, but the songs he's written. I'm a Willie fan all
the
way.
Good. Mm-hmm. But speaking of songwriters, what about JBJ, John Bon Jovi? No one dislikes John Bon Jovi.
I do.
I do.
He's so
do
overhyped.
Too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't. They're just. I mean, it's. I don't know. It comes down to the jealousy of pretty people.
I hear
That's
you,
what it
and
comes
I'm
down.
A whole bunch of that. But also, I can go back to when Bon Jovi's first record came out, and his video was on MTV, and I was in a math class with a bunch of jocks that loved to talk to each other, and they came in. You see the video of the guy flying over the audience, and the guy said, "Yeah, John Boner Jovi." I remember that 42 years ago.
I think that. For the excuse me, God, I think for the music and the man, I think he's fine. I'm not going to say I love the guy, but I'm also not going to say that I, you know, if he wasn't to do something, you know, terrible, I'd jump on the bandwagon.
He
to
is
hate
so
him.
Overhyped.
Yeah. I think you might be right about that.
Yeah, and speaking of pretty people, how do you feel?
I agree, Bob McCarthy. I'm wondering whether Rob has to go to the bathroom. I have never seen Rob do this. This has been, is it because of the chair you're in?
Is it a new chair so you don't break the screen?
What is wrong? What is wrong? Why are you shifting?
It's the same chair. I don't know why I'm shifting. I have to apologize if it's a distraction. I am just trying to get through this. Mike?
Really? Is it that difficult? Is
no,
it that
no, no, no.
Are we
no.
breaking rocks here, pal? Are
no,
we
we're
really
not.
Doing that?
Okay. We are not. All Speaking right. of the beautiful people, do you hate or does anyone hate Noah Wyle?
Now that Noah Wyle is doing the Pit, which is
yeah.
a phenomenal medical show, I am on Team Wyle all the way. I like Noah Wyle.
And he plays, I like him too.
And the thing about Noah Wyle, he plays good guys and he plays bad guys. And he
yeah.
played a bad guy in, I want to say it was the Jennifer Lopez movie where she's trying to get away and he's just he's a bad guy. I think
he
played
He
that.
Can play a creep really well.
Yeah, he plays a creep. Good guy. Like him.
I don't like this next guy, Macaulay
Let me
Culkin.
Ask that, Shannon. Rob, are you exhausted? Are you? You were exhausted yesterday. Oh. Are you exhausted today?
Of course,
I'm
he
very
is.
Tired today.
Okay,
Macaulay right. Culkin. I do not like Macaulay Culkin. I'll lead on that one.
I will tell you, I like Macaulay Culkin. I like what he has become, and I like that he has embraced the caricature of himself, and
yes.
that he does funny cameos, and he seems like kind of a down-to-earth guy.
And for a kid who was a child star,
who could have been
rebound,
totally effed up, and then
who
his
was
brother,
also close to Michael Jackson,
yes,
and has rebounded through all that.
And his brother
Kirk.
who's done such a great job on Succession,
yeah.
and I guess was really good on Broadway
mm-hmm.
in 12 Angry Men. I think that
Kieran
was the
Culkin.
Play.
Yeah.
Kieran
Macaulay's
Culkin.
Down here in a few weeks doing a watch along of Home Alone.
Right.
I
think really if he could have very easily retreated into depression and been moody, and at that point they would have called him Sullen Culkin or Sulkin Culkin.
That would have been better.
I blew the line. I was gonna say Sulkin Culkin. I am sorry, I blew it. My
what about
apology.
Mike when he went to the gym? What, do you remember when he went to the gym all those years?
Go ahead.
He was Balkan Culkin.
No. All right.
Mike, the late Steve Irwin. Does anyone dislike him?
Well, I mean, he's done what celebrities do to, freeze time, and he's passed away. And I think he created his own genre of animal television.
I don't like
yeah.
him.
Yeah, I don't either.
Why don't you like? Why
yeah,
are
Josh,
you monsters? First. You monsters.
Because the Tampa Bay Rays had to change their name from the Devil Rays once he died.
Really?
I don't know if the timing lines up,
is
but
that
I'm
going
to put the two together.
And was he short, Josh?
That's funny.
I don't
like him because he left behind two children because he had to swim with a stingray. You know what? Take a little responsibility for your family.
Wow.
It's stupid that he died.
That is so cruel. So
and Mike,
heartless.
I close with this one. I'm dying to know your opinion of this fellow. Apparently, no one dislikes Tom Hanks.
No one doesn't like Sarah Lee.
That's true. Everybody doesn't like something, but nobody doesn't like Sarah Lee. Tom Hanks, who has made a career of making himself likable. Has he succeeded?
Tom Hanks is, no, I do not like Tom Hanks. I think Tom Hanks is a bit of a sanctimonious ass.
Mm-hmm. I do too. And
I like
also,
Tom Hanks.
You do? Okay.
Yeah.
What's your favorite thing about Tom Hanks?
His movies. I think he is himself in his movies.
And the movies. You can't take away the movies he's made. Some of them are spectacular.
I'm not talking about Tom Hanks the actor. I'm talking about the guy in real life that loves being Tom Hanks and also shows up and does things. He is the most unapologetic promoter of movies. Without telling us he's promoting his movie.
But that's because he's accepted the caricature of Tom Hanks.
I don't like
that's
him.
That's who he is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. And
I liked him
cut
in
you
Bosom
off.
Buddies.
We got to cut you off. We're running out of time.
Okay,
so, I mean,
we'll
we could do 50 more of these. We will continue. I want to talk about Josh's car trouble. And you've got beautiful video, and now we are running behind. But we will talk about Josh, not the only show member with car trouble, ladies and gentlemen. That's coming up. But first, you've heard the buzz. Peptides are changing lives. These prescription meds are helping people drop serious weight fast. I've lost 80 pounds, all from home with germglowskin.com. Listen up, Unk. That's old person. Here's how easy it is. hit the weight loss button, pick your peptide, take a quick quiz, get doctor approval, and your prescription shipped straight to your door. Rob, thank you for updating all this copy, too. I appreciate
it. You're welcome,
it.
My friend.
DermGlow gets it. These meds aren't cheap. That's why they offer three flexible payment plans, plus they accept HSA and FSA. Plus, right now, Black Friday specials are live early. Personalize your phone. Is that right? Black Friday specials are live early?
Yeah, that you can do them now.
Personalize your formula by November 17th and snag a free three-month supply of B12. That's a $297 value that is nearly $300. Even more, huge discounts are running through the year's end. It's time to silence the food noise, feel like you again, and make life the best it can be. You have the playbook. Go to DermGlowSkin.com. You owe it to yourself, and we thank you. All right, Josh, so the bottom line that I didn't really give people much of an update, but
yes,
right. I am here's the dilemma we faced. The guy at the shop, because this imported car is expensive to work on, said this is what it would be. The option we have is having a car that falls apart or trading, you know, well, we can't trade it in because we owe too much. Yeah, people have been in this situation for
upside
years.
Upside down is
so we are actually
say, yes.
Now, you know, going deeper into it to hope that the car does get a new life. And when you tell me the bones of the car are really solid, we kind of gave the nod.
Who told you that the bones were solid?
The mechanic.
The guy that benefits the most from you getting the car fixed?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
I mean, I know that, too. So, I mean, I just
okay,
made...
Okay, good.
I mean, there's no... It's really like the Kevin Costner movie, Rob. No way out.
There's
just no way out right
now. That's
how they get you. Yeah.
But I give you a hard time because I said, well, go buy an American car because I've never had trouble with my car. And the truth is I haven't until, like, right when I told you that.
Karma. Yep. Karma, baby.
Karma.
So I went to pick the kids up from school on Monday.
Mm-hmm.
And the car decides that from now on, every time the speed drops below like 3 miles per hour, it's just going to shut the engine off.
Oh, dear.
Which is a whole lot of fun in the in the school pickup line.
Yeah.
Do you have that auto stop thing on your car?
I do, and I turned it off, and that wasn't it.
Okay.
So it was real fun going through the kids line. Finally, I figure if I flip it to neutral, it doesn't cut out. So I'm able to fake my way through.
You're in the line, and if you leave the car running in drive, it would shut down to the point of you'd have to hit the ignition again?
Yeah, I have to restart it. I have to turn the key.
Oh, my God.
I have to put it in park and hit the key. But if I leave it in neutral or I leave it in park, the engine runs fine.
Are you still driving the Ford MAGA?
Yes, okay. The Ford MAGA.
All right,
exactly.
It's bright red, Mike.
But anyway, so this is going on. So I get home, and I'm like, what is going on? So I go to ChatGPT.
Okay.
As you should. I type in, and it says, you have to clean the... They had said in ChatGPT, this is a $300 fix at the mechanic, but for if you go to AutoZone, you can buy a throttle body cleaner.
What is that again?
Throttle body cleaner.
The hardest thing about it is
I didn't know throttle was such a hard word.
You have to say it to
buy
it.
They said you can buy it for under $15 and do it yourself.
My old man used to say that to me occasionally. He'd say, I'll throttle you.
So
you do that and I'll throttle you.
Great. That's a great 1930s expression. Mm-hmm.
So I do that. I go buy the can. I come back home. No problem. I open up the roof of the car, the hood.
The hood?
And
the
I
roof
say,
of the car.
The hood. I open up the hood and I say... And I look and I say, I don't know what the throttle body controller is.
Oh, no.
So they told you you could fix it, but didn't tell you how you could fix it?
You put where is it located?
So I took a picture and I said, where is it? And it said, it's right there. You're looking at it. And I said, where? And then it drew this big circle and said, it's right there. And I'm looking and I still don't see it. And finally, I find out it's because it is underneath the radiator. Right where ChatGPT says it is, but I have to get the radiator pulled out to get to it.
The whole radiator to get to it? Oh, that's a huge repair.
That's huge. That's probably why all the money is there.
Right. So I tell ChatGPT, I can't get to it. Give me another option. So it says to take this spray and spray it through the air filter while someone else is gun in the gas and getting the RPMs.
Well,
up
that's
to
a, I would two. Do that. Did so you do that?
I did that. And then it says drive it 20 hard miles.
Like drive it intensely?
Drive it intense.
Okay.
So first thing I do is I go back to this neighborhood where there's no homes yet.
Okay.
And I just start going up and down the road and running around and going way too fast in this neighborhood because there's no one there. There's no houses there.
This is funny.
And it's still causing the issue, but it's not quite as bad. So I think I'm on to something.
Okay.
So then I go, all right, I'm taking it really out there. So I take it out onto 95.
Right.
And I go flying up and down 95. I get my 20 miles and I'm coming up to a stoplight right after. Shuts off completely.
Oh, no.
Done nothing.
Oh,
Drive it home. Dies again. Does nothing. So
failed by ChatGPT.
When you said it was doing better.
It was. It felt
when you
better.
Said it was doing better, what was the symptom that was making it appear to be better?
That I was able to slow down and it wouldn't stop. It wouldn't cut out. And it seemed like maybe I fixed it because it says that this flap gets stuck.
And how did the date end?
The date ends with a trip to the Ford dealership this afternoon.
Oh, no. Okay. Well, let us know what they we'll see. And see if it's the $300 that they quoted.
Yeah, yeah. We'll see what how soon. I'm going expecting them to tell me I need a new transmission or something. Mm-hmm.
Well, I feel for you. In my particular case, it's nothing like that. You know, add a zero. Multiply by three. Anyway, that's
Rob,
where
get prepared for car trouble next week.
Yeah, Rob is gone. We'll come back with Rob, hopefully, because he does have some beautiful video. But good luck with that. Well, at least you tried.
I tried.
And, you know, it's not infallible. I think we've proven that with ChatGPT. You never really know. Rob is coming up with a very, very quick, video for us. But so much happening. Oi! If you can't shut your brain off at night, Souls Out of Office Gummies are your ticket to calm, helping you relax, quiet the noise, and drift off naturally. With just the right blend of CBD and THC, they melt stress, lift your mood, and spark creativity. Pick your vibe from a mellow 1.5 milligram microdose to the bold new 15 milligram gummy when you're ready to fully unplug. Those 15s really mean business, and if you prefer to sip your chill, try the Out of Office Beverage, a crisp alcohol-free way to unwind solo or with friends. Tastes amazing, and I love it. You will too. When deep restorative sleep calls, Soul's Sleepy Gummies deliver every product. I'm sorry. My apologies, guys. We're having a little glitch here. Every product hemp-derived, delicious, crafted for wellness so you can feel good about feeling good. Get in your mindset. Get 100% far. This thing is so badly put together. I'm trying. Get your mindset 100% far out. Because right now, that's exactly what we all need. Oh, God. Bring on the good vibes and treat yourself to Soul today. Right now, Soul offering our audience 30% off your entire order. Go to GetSoul.com and use the code TMOS. That's GetSoul.com, promo code TMOS for 30% off. In your bank of videos that you have, do you happen to have the mom and dad who are talking to Orla, their daughter who's getting married, and they can't stop laughing?
They can't stop laughing? I do not have that.
You don't have that? That's a bummer. No. Yeah.
And Rob was definitely had to be on the Soul Gummies when he wrote that last copy.
I believe that he did run out of that. And,
you know, I don't know where Rob is. He was tapping on his phone a lot before he cut out, but I do have Rob's videos.
You do? Okay, let's we only have time for one, so you all are going to be the editor, and you're going to play the best one.
We're
going to
go with this one that just is labeled horse.
Okay, very good. Let's see it. Check
it's
it out.
It's the water, but what happens when you can't get it out? WDRB Stefan Johnson shows us how two Middletown officers use quick thinking and a garden hose to make a dramatic rescue.
Behind me is where it all happened, an early morning call, a trapped horse, and a rescue you have to see to believe. Take a look at how these officers turned instinct into action.
All four legs were stuck through the cover, and they were thrashing about.
It was just before 3 a.m. when two horses wandered into a neighbor's backyard. One found itself in deep water. It wasn't a midnight swim. It was a race to survive.
I always wondered how
strong
those covers were.
Tell me how your pool is. Is there steps on one end or the other?
Yeah,
Brenda Morris is the homeowner and thought it was a delivery, but after checking the doorbell camera, she realized they had an uninvited guest taking a dip in the pool.
Oh, he got out. He went in through the cover. That's got to trap him.
Also said, what? Are you sure?
Nice teeth.
There are horses in the pool.
When I heard the call, I was like, did they really say horses?
Officers Trey McKnight and Sergeant Ricky Guffey arrived to find the horse struggling to stay afloat.
I don't know how long the horse could.
The horse isn't even trying to get out.
The officers used a garden hose as a lifeline and guided the horse to dry land.
So I composed a lasso, and me and my sergeant lassoed the horse and pulled him over to the stairs, and he walked right out.
Yeah. There we go.
You want to know how it ends, Josh? You can kill that video.
All right. How's that?
And now it ends like this. And then they brought the they finally got the horse out of the pool.
One
took the what's going on? Jesus Christ Almighty.
One.
Unbelievable. They took the horse to the back of the very back of the yard and
at least they got it out of the pool before that.
They did. There you go. Very good. Yeah, that's it. Let's end like that. All right, that's it. We got to get out of here, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you very much for joining us on the Mike O'Mara Show. We got a great bonus show. If you like fast food, what American doesn't like fast food? We have a myriad of fast food stuff. Hey, but at least the record stays. The record of Miami shows being effed up continues, which is very exciting. We will be back tomorrow with a brand new bonus show for you. For Rob Spiewak and Josh Ciarocca, this is Mike O'Mara saying so long, everybody.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
Sabrina, don't just stare at it. Eat it.
You lost again.
Cotton nail bath tissue.
That's the kind of comedy we specialize in. Clean, unfunny humor.